rushing.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I pray everybody's doing well on this beautiful Sunday. Here in Tennessee, it's pretty cold, but it is a beautiful Sunday. I pray everybody's doing well. Today, Pastor has a very special sermon today, and it's called Becoming Like Children. Hold on a second. So today we're going to do a very special worship time, and we're going to be like children today. Now, I do have an encouraging scripture to you today. Is in Joshua chapter 1 in verse 9. And it says, "Have I not commanded you to be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you may go." So we just thank the Lord this morning that he has not left us or forsaken us, that he is with us no matter what, and that we are his children. Remember last week when Pastor preached, he talked about wisdom, and he talked about the children of wisdom. So today he's going to talk to us about being little children before the Lord. And so the first song we're going to sing this morning, and we're going to go back to when we was kids, and we're going to sing songs this morning as children before the Lord. Okay, so the first one is called This Little Light of Mine. Okay, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Does this remind you of when you was a little kid and you used to sing these songs? Think about this one. Oh, hide it under a bushel. No! I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No. I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Hey, what about this song? Now, y'all remember the old-fashioned Jesus Loves Me, right? Let me just sing one chorus of Jesus Loves Me. Here we go. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Remember that? Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. All right, I've got a new one for all of you guys called Jesus Loves Me, the Senior Version. Okay, so This one is dedicated to all my brothers and sisters out there that are seniors. Okay, here we go. Jesus loves me, this I know. Though my hair is white as snow, though my sight is growing dim, still he bids me trust in him. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Though my steps are oh so slow, with my hand in his I'll go. On through life, let come what may, he'll be there to lead the way. Isn't that beautiful? Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. When the nights are dark and long, in my heart he puts a song, telling me in words so clear, have no fear, for I am near. Isn't that beautiful? Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, even though I'm old. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Last verse. I love Jesus, does he know? Have I ever told him so? Jesus loves to hear me say that I love him every day. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Amen. I give credit to that song to Mark Lowry. I saw that on Facebook. That is really awesome. Okay, the last song we're going to sing today is called He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. I think in this hour we need to know this because of all the chaos and everything that's happening today. He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 He's got the sun and the rain in his hands. He's got the moon and the stars in his hands. He's got the wind and the cloud in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Sing it with me. He's got the whole world In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the rivers and the mountains. In his hands, he's got the oceans and the seas. In his hands, he's got you and me. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. Come on now. He's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. Yay! Now, does this bring back some memories? I thought it was really awesome to sing to you guys this morning about Jesus Loves Me Senior Version. Because we have our own unique, you know, relationship with the world as our time on the earth is coming to a close. You know, you know what I mean? We have the realization that, we don't have much time left. Plus, when you happen to equate the end time scenario in there, you know. But anyway, let's go ahead and open up the prayer line to Pastor. Good morning, sir. Hold on here. Good morning, sir. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okie dokie. Well, thank you for those awesome songs.
Yeah.
So, anyway, and I want to, I guess, thank everybody for their birthday cards and gifts and
yes, happy birthday, Pastor.
And notes and stuff like that people sent me. I greatly appreciate that. I guess I'm sitting here thinking about it, and I had a note. Now I lost it. My daughter Chantel, she sends me a happy birthday text, and she goes, "Happy birthday, old time man," or something like that, you know. And I thought, oh boy, you know, leave it to her to say that. But anyway, it's 67 years old, young, I should say. But just want to thank everybody for their gifts and cards and blessings, that's for sure. And I'm sitting here too, and I was looking up, and I thinking of that, you know, old, getting old. And I reached up and I pulled down one of my old Bibles, and I haven't looked at this one in a long time. I had to blow the dust off of it. And it's a pretty cool Bible. It's Hartel Standard Reference Index Bible. And it's leather bound, and it's a pretty thick Bible, and it's got some cool pictures in it, a lot of references, and, you know, alphabetic index and concordance. And but it's copyright 1926, 1928, 1930, 1938. And 1941 by the John Hartel Company. And anyway, it's another one of my old Bibles that I, you know, I always go to thrift stores and stuff like that. I always look for old Bibles. They're neat to look at, and I always got some good information and stuff in them. And so I take it this probably is a 1941 edition. But when I was in it, and I thought, well, today and last week and this week, we're talking about children. And so I went to the alphabetic index and looked up children in it. And it says childbearing. It's got scriptures, childhood characteristics. It's got references. That is one's interesting. And childishness, childlessness, childlikeness. Children regarded as, and a whole bunch of stuff, other stuff, but there's two scriptures here that stuck out at me, and it says, essential element in Christian life, you know, childlikeness, resembling a child. And so I thought, huh, I gotta look them up. And so in Mark 10, I want to read this quick. Mark 10 and verses 13 through 15, and also in Luke 18, verse 15, 16, and 17 is the same. But here in Mark 10, it says, and this is Mark chapter 10 is the first part of it is about Jesus. Or he's talking about divorce. And then in verse 13, it goes into Jesus blesses children. And this is what it says. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said to them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Wow, ain't that so cool? Don't you wish you was one of them little children? That he took them up in his arms and he put his hands on them and he blessed them. How awesome is that? But in that verse 15, it says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. That's an eye-opener. And so I thought that was pretty interesting. You know, like June was saying, last week we talked about, but wisdom is justified of all her children. And so when I was this week reading in my one book that I've been studying, How to Stop the Pain, and one of the chapters is about children. And so he only gives, I think, maybe two scriptures in here, or three, but I broke it down and start, you know, digging much deeper in it. And so that's what I want to share today. And so it's, you know, becoming like little children, and that's what we need to be, you know. And I also want to say that, you know, for me, I take the scriptures, you know, when they talk about children's, and there's a lot of scriptures where he talks about, you know, literally children, little children, but I want to look at myself as a little child, as a little children, you know, a child of God. So I believe we need to really take heed to scriptures where he talks about children or being like a child or whatever. And so that's what I guess I want to share today. I think that's all there. So let's start out in Proverbs chapter 4. Turn there, I guess. Proverbs 4. And Proverbs 4 and verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, keep thy heart with all diligence, with all diligence. And that word diligence means a working hard, careful effort. You know, we have to make an effort, you know, work hard at, you know, to, you know, keep our heart. Well, in the New Living Translation, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. You know, so I'm putting these two, you know, the King James and the New Living. I like that where it says, guard your heart. You know, guard your heart with all diligence. I'm putting the two together. You know, we need to watch over, protect our heart. You know, well, how do you do that? You know, and we're going to talk about that somewhat. Because why? For out of it are all are the issues of life. And we all have our issues, don't we? Some more than others. You know, and those issues, you know, one issue, and I'm just thinking this just come to me, and it's like, and it's so sad. One issue in your life is when you're growing up could affect you for a long time, if not the rest of your life, when you become an adult. Because I'm thinking of someone that I know that shared something with me a few weeks ago. Shared something with me about happened to him when he was little, and it still just eats at him, you know. And it really is a serious thing, you know. And so we want to talk about that. Because, you know, we have to really guard our heart. Amen. You know, the heart is the guidance system in your life. You know, all that you do emerges from the beliefs that are in your heart. You know, the heart is also the seat of your being. You know, it's the collective conscience of all that you are. You know, it is from the beliefs of your heart that your self-perception and worldview emanate. You know, what you see out here, you know, out of the, you know, all the issues of life spring, you know, that's where, you know, because the interpretation of who we are abides in our hearts. Think about that. You've grown up as a little child, and what was spoken over you and you heard in your ear, and it went into your mind and into your heart. That interpretation of what you took that as, it was spoken to you, it now abides in your heart. You know, all that we do, see, and feel is affected by that perception. You know, our perception is the lens that colors our world, is the filter through which all data is passed and interpreted. You know, it determines how we experience reality, you know, in the future as we grow up. It's serious. We may, you know, momentarily rise above our heart perception, or we may momentarily sink beneath it. But ultimately, we will return to the beliefs of our heart. You know, it affects your life, you know, and It's serious. In 1 Peter, let's turn to that. 1 Peter chapter 3. I've got so many little notes here. I'm going to hopefully I get this in decent. 1 Peter 3 verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that seeketh you a reason of the hope that is with that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts. And I was thinking about that. Wow. Sanctify the Lord in your heart. You know, and here I put a little question, you know, as I'm thinking about that. You know, it's the question is how to change the heart. You know, the things that are in your heart that are leading and guiding you, directing your path in life that is, say, leading you in the darkness of life, are these issues of in your life that are coming up, you know, from your past. How do we change that? How do we change, get that out of our heart? How do we sanctify the heart, I guess, is my question. And I'm hoping that we can get some things, you know, that we can, that will answer that question. Because to me, you know, the Bible says, only the pure in heart shall see God. I don't have that scripture. That just popped in my mind because I've had that scripture. I've thought about that so much in the last years, you know. Only the pure in heart will see God. So what's in your heart that needs to be sanctified so you can have a pure heart? But I want to just read a little more here on that. But sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you reason of the hope that is in you, within you, the meekness and fear. You know, so when I'm ministering to somebody, or you're ministering to somebody, you know, and hopefully you can minister to them in a way out of your heart that, you know, that they'll see that you want to help them from all your heart. You know, it's that like it says, you're be ready always to give an answer to every man. So if you're, you know, someone has a bad issue, like this person that I'm talking about, that I have an answer for him. My hope is in the Lord and his word, and how I, you know, how I get into the word and study the word, you know, that I can share that with someone to help them, you know. That's the way I'm seeing this. Because that's, as it says there, to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. You know, a lot of people don't have hope. They've got these issues in life that are dragging them down. And, you know, you want to give them an answer. You want to give them, you know, some good fruit. Because that's the hope you have. You want to give them a hope they don't have, you know. And then it says, that is in you with meekness and fear. And, you know, and that word fear is respect or reverence. You know, you want to do it reverently. and meekness. You know, that's a very interesting word, and I know I've shared this before, but in my Bible dictionary, I looked that up, and to me, meekness is power under control. It's like a wild stallion, and you catch it, and you get a rope around it, and you put a harness on it, and you break it, and it's brought under submission, a humility. That's meekness. But my Bible dictionary, the Hebrew word ana, to be bowed down. Greek, gentleness. Meekness in the scriptural sense is an inwrought grace of the soul. You know, the soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's a big thing. It's a big deal. And the exercise of it are first and chiefly toward God. There we go. What's our answer? You know, where was that? You know, I'm going to find that again. To every man that asketh you a reason of the hope, your answer to them, it's Jesus. You know, the Greek term expresses the temper, our spirit, in which we accept his dealings with us without disputing or resisting. You know, we're reading the word, we're studying the word, and we got an issue in our life, and well, all of a sudden we come up with a scripture that kind of, oh boy, that puts a little check in your spirit. Now, are you going to agree with that word? Are you going to take that word to heart and to help you check to what? To purify your heart? You know, are you going to dispute it? Are you going to resist it? Or, as it says here, and it is closely linked with humility that follows close upon it, Ephesians 4:2, Colossians 3:13, because it is only the humble heart which is also the meek, and which, as such, does not fight against God. You know, we can't fight against the word of God and more or less struggle and contend with him. This meekness, however, which is first a meekness with respect of God, is also such in the face of men, even of evil men, out of the thought that these, with the insults and injuries which they may inflict, are permitted and used by him for the chastening and purifying of his people. Wow. Meekness we're talking about. And then it goes on. This was the root of David's humility. I mean, look at King David. Look about his life and the power. I mean, he was the king. And it says, this was the root of David's humility when, on occasion of his flight from Absalom, Shimei cursed and flung stones at him. The thought that the Lord was bidden him, see 2 Samuel 16:11, that it was just for him to suffer these things. However unjust it might be for the others to inflict them, and out of like conviction of true humility, of all true humility, must spring. He that is meek indeed will know himself a sinner among sinners. Or if one case, he could not know himself such, yet bearing a sinner's doom. And this will teach him to endure meekly with provocations, and that which it will provoke him. not to withdraw himself from the burdens which their sins may impose upon them. Anyway, that word meekness and what it's saying, you know, that hope goes with meekness and fear. You have to sanctify your heart with meekness and fear. Let's turn to Proverbs 3. Myself here. In Proverbs 3, you know, tells us to store up God's commandment in our hearts. You know, in verse 3, it tells us to write certain attitudes and beliefs on our heart. Let's read this. Proverbs 3. Verse 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and long life and peace shall they be added to thee. And when I read that word, and peace, and long life and peace, how many people do you know that want peace? Remember last week I was sharing with you about my one friend who I've been ministering to, and when I asked him, how would you like some peace in your life, man, he about started crying. Oh man, I just need peace, he said. And another friend of mine 6 or 7 years ago, when I went by his place and he was all downcast, you know, and I got out my Bible and I prayed Philippians 4:7, that the peace of God that shall guard over your hearts and your minds, you know, that all surpassing, you know, peace. People want peace. But here it says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. You know, we're to take God's word, the truth. You know, if you don't have peace in your life, you need to find out why. You need to repent, maybe why. And then find good scriptures about peace. You know, write and ponder and read and get them scriptures in you. That's what it's saying. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tablet of thy heart. Wow. Then what? So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Do you want favor in your heart, in your life? Good understanding, good success. Good success in getting rid of what's causing the problem that you don't have peace. Not just success in life of your job or making money, but spiritual success. Getting rid of the burdens, being successful at getting rid of them burdens, that they don't keep coming back to haunt you. Because that's what happens to people. I know some people that way. And when you get these scriptures in you, get them down inside you. You shall find favor and good understanding inside of God and man. You know, you're witnessing to people and they see the peace that you have. They're going to go, man, I want what he's got. I remember a guy that way. His name was John. When I first walked into this church, and after I got born again, and this guy came up to me, John, and I never seen such a vibrant joy in a person in my life. Man, I wanted what he had. That's what we're talking about here. Then what? Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. You're not leaning to what you think, you know. In all your ways acknowledge who? Him, the Lord, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know, this whole chapter is about exhortation to obedience, being obedient. You know, happy is a man that finds wisdom. There we go. We're talking about wisdom. This is an awesome, you know, proverb in 3. You know, the Bible tells us to believe in the heart, hide the word in our hearts, guard our hearts, guide our hearts, establish our hearts, and where it tells us to write on our hearts. You know, the ministry of the heart is the sole responsibility of the individual. You have to take responsibility. You know, I can direct you, you know, somebody else can direct you and tell you to do this and, you know, get into the word here and whatever, but it's your responsibility. Yet few people ever learn how to consistently influence their hearts in a deliberate way. You know, most of what happens to our hearts is accidental and without choice. You know, think about that. You know, when you was a little child growing up, what was spoken over you, what happened to you, you didn't have a choice for that to happen or not. You was too little. But it's deep in your heart now. And so it's your responsibility to minister to your heart. And, you know, when I was thinking about that, you know, it's our responsibility to minister to our hearts. And not just our hearts, our children's hearts. You know, if you have children and you're raising children, it's your responsibility how you, your words that you're speaking over your children. You know, you need to use tender, loving care, loving words to your children, because otherwise you're going to harden their hearts. You know, it's your responsibility. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And this is the great commandment. Now these are the commandments the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God command to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whether ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, hear therefore, Dennyware, hear therefore, and put your name there, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of the fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And in verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. With all thy what? Thy soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And boy, ain't that a big topic. Your soul realm. You know, what you hear as a child, what your children hear, what is spoken over them, it goes into the soul realm, into the heart. Verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. He's commanding them to take his word to the heart. God's word is what should be in your heart to direct it. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Is that not giving us the parent responsibility? It's actually a great commandment. You know, to what? To teach them diligently. Remember that word, diligence? Hard, carefully, with careful effort. You know, we careful to do it in a loving, tender way, not with harsh words. You know, it could be the words could be good, and it could be wise, and it could be just what they need to hear, but it's that tone of voice is what's going to make the difference, and we'll talk about that. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, you know, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest. So talk, when you're talking to your children, you have to be careful with your tone of voice. And if you're raising your hand against them, they see, you know, their perception of how you're talking to them, how you're giving them instruction. You know, if you raise your hand at them, they're going to see that. They're going to hear it with their ears. That's their perception. It's going to be good or bad. And how they take it goes into their heart. If you talk to them gently, they're going to receive it, and it won't be a burden in their heart. They're going to receive it, you know, that will lead and guide them. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and there shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gate. Amen. And if you read on in this chapter in Deuteronomy, it's warnings against disobedience. We're not going to go there, but, you know, you have to be obedient to God's word. And he's telling us to, you know, to use tender, kind words, loving words when you speak to your children. You know, our ministry, you know, the ministry of the heart is the sole responsibility of the individual. It's the sole responsibility of the parent to your children. Amen. You know, so much of what we believe in our hearts about ourselves is the result of negative and positive experiences that were out of our control, like I was saying. You know, we did not choose them. And when they occurred, we did not realize the effect that would have on us. Much of what we believe about ourselves also is the product of the actions of dysfunctional people. Think about that. Dysfunctional people. And, you know, dysfunctional. And I had to look that word up. It means not working properly or in a normal way. So what am I saying here? Much of what we believe about ourselves also is the product of the actions of dysfunctional people. So if you were a parent and you were screaming and hollering at your children trying to instruct them to be quiet, but you didn't do it in a kind, loving way, you're the dysfunctional parent. Because you weren't doing it in a properly or in a normal way, in a loving, kind way. So much of what we believe about ourselves is also the product of actions of dysfunctional people. It might have been, you know, maybe a teacher when you was in first grade. And you did something, you know, not real bad, but your teacher come up and screamed and hollered at you, raised his hand against you when he should have come down and disciplined you in a nice way. That's being a dysfunctional teacher. You know, he didn't do it in a proper way. You know, just, you know, it can be, for instance, like a broken toaster. It's dysfunctional. It's not working like it's supposed to. You know, and that behavior, oh, how do I want to say this? You know, that could be a dysfunctional system, like the family, a dysfunctional family. The parents were dysfunctional. They weren't working properly. And they raised up a bunch of kids, and they weren't, because of the parents, you know, it became a dysfunctional system, a family. It could be a business. You know, impaired, malfunctioning, abnormal relationships. We were talking about relationships, you know. It can impair relationships. You know, behavior, which is the action. So, brought up this way, or your child was brought up this way, you know, dysfunctional family. Well, it's going to be happening when he goes to school. His teacher's going to, your child has a bad behavior. That's his actions because of how you talk to your child. You know, they're socially impaired or unhealthy. Going back to, now when they grow up, you know, they're going to maybe not like to go out and be around a bunch of people. They're going to be socially impaired, you know, or unhealthy. You know, it could be spiritual. You know, we're talking, because we're a two-part, you know, three-part being, a spirit, soul, and body. So it can affect you in all those ways, you know. So you have to, you know, when I was thinking about this and writing this down, I was like, well, what's the fix? You know, you have to acknowledge the issue or the problem. If so, the cause of it. You know, maybe you have to get professional help, a pastor, a guidance teacher or somebody. But most of all, God's word. Study and renew the mind. Adults and other children express themselves with the sphere of our emotional experience, and we judge those childhood experiences with the perception and understanding of a child, you know, in the soul realm here. As we grew, we defined our world with our self-perception of those judgments. You know, we're judging our parents for how they were dysfunctional, you know, against us. We thought those people did what they did because of us, when the truth is that they did what they did because of themselves. But the child, you know, as a child, you're going to take it to heart. Man, what did I do wrong? But it wasn't you. It was the parent or the teacher or the brother or the sister. You know, I don't want to pick on just the parents or the brother or the teacher. You know, it could be a whole array of different things. You know, it just, you know, we just happened to be there at that time, you know, as a child, you know. And children, they don't have a choice of their parents, right? You know, maybe they come up in a dysfunctional family. You know, one way to write on our hearts is through a combination of emotion and information. For example, people around us act in a way that has nothing to do with us, but we subjectively, you know, in our minds, judge that conduct. We think it is about us. In that emotional state, our judgment, which manifests as our self-talk, becomes the information we experience. You know, it's like, you know, he does that because I'm stupid. Or she does that because I'm ugly. People like me only because I'm pretty. You know, our self-talk, you know, what we think about ourselves, we're talking to ourselves during these emotional times, is the information that becomes written on our heart. You know, we have to ponder this. You know, how would you want to be treated or raised up when you were a child? You know, with loving, tender words, soft-spoken words, not getting your a whop over the head or slap over the face with someone's hand. You know, how, and if that happened to you, you know, how you think about that, your self-talk to yourself during these emotional times, that's going to get written on your heart. You know, that's going to lead and guide you the rest of your days. You know, and you know, many times the judgmental words of the dysfunctional offender become the information we process. As these men or women rage out of control, or teachers or brothers or, you know, different people, it tells us that we are ugly or ignorant or worthless. You know, we accept their judgment as real. You know, some people do. Some children do. And this information, this emotion, you know, it writes something on our hearts that we may never escape. Let's see here. Let's go to Psalm 127. Not sure if this. Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. You know? It says your children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. So how you raise your children up, that's going to, the fruit you're going to get. Is it going to be good fruit or is it going to be bad fruit? You know, and the Bible, you know, is full of messages serving as a guide for how to act or behave in life, with plenty of teachings for teaching children. You know, God's word, and it's not only teaching, these are also comforting verses that show our Heavenly Father's love and desires for peace, which is so important for both children and parents, especially when going through tough times. You know, there's so many passages in the Bible, you know, that are warning, emphasizing the severe consequences for those who cause spiritual harm to believers or to children, you know, particularly those who are vulnerable. You know, and here, let's go to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. And this Isaiah 54 is about the Lord's everlasting love for Israel. And you know, when I read scriptures, you know, stuff like this, it's, you just put your name in there. And in fact, I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to write my name. The Lord's everlasting love for Dennis. Just put your name there. That's what this chapter is about. And, but let's see here. So just, you can read that whole chapter, but I wanted to read verse 13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. You want your children to have peace? You want peace in your life? Be obedient to the word of God. Great shall be thy peace of thy children. We are children of the, you know, of God, the children of the light. And we're going to get into some scriptures about that. In verse 14, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from opposition, for thou shalt not fear from the terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. You know, we have to gather together for the Lord, not for the enemy. Amen. And I guess I've got a whole list here of scriptures that, well, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. You know, and there's a whole list, you know, of good scriptures about, you know, comforting scriptures. And you know, you can just do your own research. I'm not going to give this whole list, I guess, for time's sake. But there's many scriptures, you know, that it's the ways of the believer and how you, you know, are to act. And then there's Let me think here. There's the top objective in parenting should be to make our children feel loved, accepted, secure. In that environment, they will be trusting, teachable, and compliant. The goals for raising healthy children and pastoring healthy congregation should be the same. If the heart is safe, it is open and teachable. If there is acceptance, then the reason for teaching is not subjectively twisted into rejection. People should never be taught because they are wrong, but because they are loved. Man, there's so much on this. Romans 12, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And there's in Matthew 18, verses 1 through 5, Jesus explains greatness. And I guess we already talked about that, but in Matthew 18, verse 3, and he says, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is great in the kingdom of heaven. And that word converted, except ye be converted. That means to change, to turn. Change from unbelief to faith. And that's where that Romans 12:2 that I just read. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. We have to be converted. Ephesians 4:23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So that means you have to read God's word. You have to ponder on it. You have to think about it. You got to pray about it. Get it in your man's spirit. Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And who created us? Who created us? Out of the dust of the earth? God did. Renewed in what? In knowledge, in God's word. Then in Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. And I'm not going to go there for right now, but I want you to write down Ephesians 4, verses 14 through 31. It talks about the new life in Christ. When our minds have been so perverted, deviated from what is considered right, normal, or good, it's been misguided and unnatural, corrupted, distorted. We need to have to renew our mind, even from a child age, And that's what being born again is getting into, you know, into the family of God. You know, that word pervert, you know, we've been perverted, you know, and you, that could be, you know, a lot of people look at that sexually, but it means to twist, to distort or corrupt something from its intended purpose, which can include justice, truth, and moral or sexual standards. It signifies a deviation from what is right and true according to God's laws, standards, and can refer to actions, words, and then be, and then what's it going to cause? A hardened heart. So, you know, becoming like little children, not making life so difficult, not taking offenses. Only God knows what's truly in the heart. I'm going to wrap this up real quick here. Let's turn to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. I guess I kind of read that already. Remember, okay, in Matthew 18, in verse 3, he says, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child is my, in my name, receiveth me." But warning, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to the man by whom the offense cometh." You know, warning. You know, how are you treating your children? Mark verse 9, excuse me, Mark chapter 9. Verse 42, there it says again, "Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea." There it is again. Luke 17, 2, there it is again. Warnings. But my last scripture, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. And I just want to read starting with chapter 5 verse 2, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safely, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of the light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also ye do. Amen. Amen. Children of the light. We are called to be the children of the light. Amen. So, Lord, right now we just thank you, Lord, that your word is the light. It's the path. It's the light under the path of our that we walk, Lord. We thank you for your word today, Lord, that it will guide us and lead us in our words and in our actions, Lord, to be the children of the light and not the dark. That we can see so much being, how the people are being deceived today, Lord. And Lord, help us to walk, you know, diligently in the light of your word, Lord, and be not deceived. So we just thank you, Lord, and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Well, that's what I have for today. hope everybody has a good day. It looks like the sun is shining here today. So.
Well, Pastor, that was really awesome. Really encouraging about how we treat children. And how our role is as children of the Lord. I took a lot of good notes, which is on the website now. And so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to pray for everybody. Because I know that some of this I was convicted over myself. Like, you know, the way I raised my kids. You know, and imagine the issues that young people have today, you know, raising their kids, because they have a lot more eyes on them. Because, you know, back then, you know, we whipped our kids, you know, because we believe what the Bible said, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child, you know. But in these days, it's a lot different because of the perception of society and of course, you know, society's withdrawal from the values of the Word of God type of deal, and, you know, just society in itself. So it's, I believe it's harder for them today, you know, on how to discipline the children. And plus, you know, they have them watching video games and stuff as babysitters, so it kind of fills their mind, which it shouldn't. But anyway, so let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your encouraging word this morning. And Lord, we pray for all of the young parents, Lord, that they would be able to learn how to guard the hearts of the children, like Pastor encouraged today, to guard their hearts until they're 18. They're responsible for them, and help them, Lord. To be diligent over the children and to have wisdom in their decisions as well. And Lord, we pray for all of us, Lord, that we would walk as little children, that we would keep our heart diligent, and that we would really guard our heart so that we can walk in the ways that you would have us to walk, Lord. And we pray for every heart today, Lord, that you heal them. People that have deep roots of hurt and things that have happened in their life that has caused them over the years, Lord, to harden their heart. I pray you soften the heart today. Lord, tear down every yoke, every chain, every barrier in their life, Lord. Tear it down so they can become children again and enjoy you again without having all of the hurt from churches and hurt from people and hurt from family members in society and all of the different things that have happened to them as an adult. That you heal that like only you can do, Lord. Restore to them, Lord. I pray refreshing on them right now, Lord. Rivers of living water, Lord, just flowing through them, Lord. And Lord, anyone out there that's not saved, I pray that they will accept you as their Savior, Lord. And that they will repent and humble themselves and allow you to show them who they really are in your sight, Lord, and how they can be children, you know, before you, Lord. So we just worship and praise your holy name today, Lord. I speak peace in every home. I plead the blood of Jesus over every home. Cover them in the blood of Jesus. And we thank you and give you praise today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.